Father God, we humbly approach your throne this evening, this morning, this afternoon, wherever this is being listened to. And we ask, Father God, for your grace and your mercy upon your people. We ask, Father God, for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit as this word goes forth. We ask, Father God, for hearing ears. We ask, Father God, for tender hearts. Most of all, Father God, we ask for the mercies of your wisdom as we teach your word in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Today we are continuing our study in the book of Genesis, and we are picking up our study at the transition point from the story of Noah to the history and the story of Abraham. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to actually be putting in at verse 24, Genesis chapter 11, verse 24. And before we dig in, I want to set the scene just a little bit, because the story of the calling of Abram out of his homeland is an interesting story. And we kind of sometimes, as people who are students of the word, we take it for granted that yes, God called Abram and Abram just picked up and left. But we need to understand what that would undertake. You see, Abram's country of origin is what the Bible refers to as Ur of the Chaldees. We know it today as modern day Iraq. Now, this is the cradle of Western civilization. It is from the people who were settled in that area after the flood that we get the rise of Ur. We get the rise of Sumer. We get the rise of what would become Babylon. And out of these peoples, as they spread north and east, we get the Persians, which is modern day Iran. We get the peoples of Europe, Turkey, Greece, the Germanic peoples, the peoples of what would eventually become Russia, Serbia. And what's interesting about this time is this is a time of civilization. This is a time of city building. And as we gathered from our previous lesson, Abram was of the lineage of the founding of Ur of Chaldees. And what this ends up meaning is that Abram and his family were pretty well off. They had available to them the technology of the day. And so they had, for what would be at that time, a comfortable life. And so for God to say, pick up and leave and go to a place that I will show you, meant stepping away from a comfortable life. That in itself is amazing, but consider this fact. And I'm speaking from somebody who lives in the United States. I know that Balance Point is listened to and studied by people around the world, but here in the United States, there is an interesting statistic in the 21st century. And it's a statistic about how far people tend to move from where they grew up. And here in the United States, on average, a person never moves more than about 75 miles from where they grew up. Consider this. And as we get into our study, I want you to consider that Abram picked up and moved hundreds of miles from where he grew up. And yet, in the 21st century, the average person here in America will never move more than 75 miles away from where they grew up. Now consider this. In today's world, it is much easier to pick up and move than it was in the days of Abraham. After all, if we want to move, we rent ourselves a U-Haul truck, and we pretty much pick up and go. We have modern technology to keep us in touch with our family. You know, if I want to be in touch with my nephew who happens to live in North Carolina, all I gotta do is fire up Skype and I'm on video chat with him. And so to move across country is not that big of a deal today, and yet most people don't. Now consider Abram and his family. They were well-to-do. They were fairly wealthy in terms of cattle, in terms of sheep. We'll see that a little bit later in the story, in the history here that we're going to be going through over the next few weeks. And so they had to pick up and move all of that. And with that as the backdrop, I call today's sermon, "Are You a Settler or Are You a Seeker?" Let's pick up Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 23. We're going to pick up a couple of generations before Abram. And Serug lived, Serug had lived 30 years and became the father of Nahor. And Serug lived for 200 years after he became the father of Nahor, and he had other sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and became the father of Terah. And Nahor lived 119 years after he became the father of Terah, and he had other sons and daughters. Terah lived 70 years. Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Now Haran died in the presence of his father, Terah, in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran. And the father of Milcah and Iscah, and Sarah was barren and she had no child. Verse 31. Now Terah took Abram his son, Lot the son of Haran, and his grandson Sarai, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran, and they settled there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Thank you, Father God, for this reading of your word. There's so much here that this is amazing. And Father God, we bless your name because of what you have here for us. Are you a settler or are you a seeker? We're all familiar with how this story continues, where Abram goes into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land that flows with milk and honey, at the command of God. But before Abram ever set forth on his own for the land of Canaan, we get this in chapter 11, verse 31. Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. This is interesting because we don't have a record of God speaking to Terah, saying, Terah, leave the land of your birth, Ur of the Chaldeans, and go to Canaan. We don't know whether God spoke directly to Terah, or maybe before the death of Terah, before the death of Haran, God had spoken to Abram and said, Abram, I want you to leave your family and go to the land of Canaan. And Abram, being a good Middle Eastern son, would want to get the blessing of his father, Terah. And so Abram goes to Terah. Maybe Abram went to Terah and said, hey, you know what? God spoke to me and said, I need to go to the land of Canaan. We don't know which, but for whatever reason, Terah, as the head of the house, sets forth from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he gets as far as Haran, and he settles there. He settles there. He stops there, and he dies in the place of his settlement. I personally believe that Terah had been told by God, go forth from Ur of the Chaldeans into the land of Canaan, and I will be a blessing to you. And Terah began the process with his son, with Abram, with Sarai, and his grandson Lot. I want you to consider this undertaking. They have several hundred miles to go. It's one thing to pick up and move when it's just you by yourself. That's expensive enough. That's actually painful enough to do. But to pick up and move yourself, your son, your daughter-in-law, and your grandson, that meant that Terah had some wherewithal. Terah was not a poor man to move all of these people. And so God starts to move this family to the land of promise so that they might become a family of promise. And that brings us to the first point that I have. Everyone has a calling from God. Everyone has something that God desires for them to do because they are specifically purposed for doing that thing. God called this family out of Ur of the Chaldeans, which brings me to my second point, which is related to the first point. God operates through families. God operates through families. Notice that God didn't say to the whole land of Ur of the Chaldeans, it's time to relocate, fellas. God didn't speak through the government. God didn't necessarily speak through the religious establishment. No, God spoke to this family and said, I have a job for you to do. This job is for you to be blessed and for you to be a blessing to the greater world around you. far too often, especially here in modern America, we let the institutions do what God has called us to do. Or rather, we try to push off on the institution. God didn't call the government. God didn't call the religious system. No, God called an individual. And God called that individual through his family. This is important. Later on in the Bible, God speaks of generational blessing, where God will have favor on those down to the thousandth generation of those who love and obey him. And the flip side of that coin is generational curses. Now, I don't believe that God curses an individual because of the actions of their ancestors. Rather, I believe that the actions of the ancestors set up an atmosphere which makes it more difficult for the individual to obey. But yet, both of these things travel through the family, whether it's blessing or cursing. I believe that it is an atmosphere that is set up. I'll give you an example. I never met my great-grandfather. He had passed away long before I was ever born. This would be my mother's grandfather. It is only recently that I found out that my great-grandfather was a preacher of the word. I believe that that set into motion an atmosphere within my family that brought about the fact that I'm now a preacher of the word. You see, my great-grandfather was a preacher of the word. My grandmother was a worship leader. My mother was a worship leader. My natural tendency is to be a worship leader because of the atmosphere that was set in the place. You see, I sit here before you teaching the word of God because of the call that was placed upon my family 3-4 generations ago. God calls us through our family. Second thing that we notice is that disappointment will come with the call. Watch this. Watch this. Before Terah sets out, his son dies, back in verse 28. Now, Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth, Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, here's what's interesting, because if we jump down to verse 31, we see Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his grandson, and Sarai, his wife, Abram's wife, and they went together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, but they went as far as Haran. Now, it's interesting that in verse 28, Haran dies, and yet we find that they settle in a place that becomes a memorial for the death of the son. You see, as we're called to do the work of God, as we're called out of our family structure, within our family structure, and yet to leave our family structure, there will be disappointment that's going to fall. Okay? One of the worst things that can happen to a parent is to have to bury their child. That is one of the toughest disappointments. I have never experienced it. I watched my mom as she went through that when my brother passed away. And I pray that I never have to experience it. But it was something that was so devastating to Terah, that Terah settles in a town named for his son. It becomes a tombstone. And what starts off as a journey of promise, a journey of blessing, becomes a tomb. You see, we can start off well in the blessing that God has for us. We can start off well in the calling that God has for us. And then, boom, life happens. And we have a choice when life happens. We can carry on in the vision. We can carry on in the purposes of God. Or we can settle in the disappointment. But if we choose to settle in the disappointment, then there's a pretty good chance that we will die in the place of our settlement. Verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Terah died in the place that became the memorial for his son, never having seen the blessings of Canaan, never having enjoyed the hills of plenty, never having truly become the blessing that God intended for him to become. You see, if Terah had moved on in the time of his discomfort, rather than speaking of Father Abraham having many sons, we'd be speaking of Father Terah having many sons. But unfortunately, Terah died in the place of disappointment. It is all too easy for us to give up and die in the place of our disappointment. It's easy for us to settle for the good instead of pressing on for the God. Let me repeat that. It's far too easy to settle for the good instead of pressing on for the God. And the temptation is strong. You know, I heard something earlier this week. It was a saying, and I have no idea where it originated, but I heard it from another pastor. It said, if the devil can't get you to sin, he'll get you to get busy. He'll get you to get distracted. Far too often we spend much of our lives distracted. I am guilty of that. I spent many years distracted doing good things. I spent many years serving at churches as the media person. I've spent many years serving at churches as the worship leader. I've spent many years serving at churches as the associate pastor, the one who takes care of making sure that things get done that need to get done so that the lead pastor can do the things that a lead pastor needs to do. And those things were good things. Those things were things that I liked to do. But those things were not God things. Those things were not the things that God had called me to do. You see, there's a great difference between doing the things that are good and doing the things that are called. I believe that Terah was called to be the one to lead his family into the land of Canaan. But the distraction of the disruption of his life from the death of his son derailed him from that calling. So one, everybody has a calling. Two, distractions are going to come your way. Three, we have the choice to settle or to seek. For if we choose to settle, God's will is still going to be done. You see, Terah chose to settle, and he died in the place of his settlement. And when Terah was out of the way, we pick up in chapter 12, verse 1. Now God said to Abram, how many of you know that if you aren't going to cooperate with God's plan for your life, God is going to turn around and say to the next person? Again, personal testimony here. I believe that the way God formed me, that the way God made me, my primary calling was to worship ministry. My primary calling was to teach the word through song. My primary calling was to be a worshiper and so attract those around me into that place of worship. And I can look at my generation, my brothers and sisters, and I can see how God called them. And I can also see how they did not answer God's calling. And as they did not answer God's calling, that calling was moved. I look at my oldest brother, who has a keen mind for the word. And yet at a young age, he got distracted into a cult. And we pray for him that he will be removed from that cult. But he is wired to be a profound, almost prophetic teacher of God's word. And yet because he got distracted and moved into this other realm, that calling, that mantle moved from him down. Now, my second older brother, the one who passed away, growing up, I could see that he was an influencer of people. He was naturally talented in connecting with people. Think evangelist. And yet when my oldest brother walked away from the call to be the teacher, that mantle passed to my second oldest brother. Now, he was not willing to accept that mantle. And again, he allowed distractions to get in the way. And he was set aside, and eventually he perished. And that mantle moved down. Now, the mantle to be a teacher actually skipped my sister, at least in a direct way, in terms of being a lead pastor. Looking at her growing up, she had the heart for counseling. She had the heart for helping people. And that was her calling, and she's actually lived out that calling for the most part during her life. She was not particularly called to be a teacher of the word, and because of that, the mantle of teacher actually skipped her and came to me. Now, my natural calling is music, worship ministry. And yet, I have this mantle on me to teach the word, to preach the word. And because of that, I've answered that calling. And because of that, many people have been blessed. And I've been blessed. I've been blessed in ways that are unimaginable. But God has used me as a blessing to others. So, what have we learned today? We've learned, one, everybody has a calling. Everybody is made to do something special. Two, we can get distracted from our calling. Three, if we choose to ignore our calling, we may die in the place of distraction. And four, if we choose to be distracted from our calling, that calling will be passed on. God's will be done. Let me ask you, has God called you? I believe that God has called every single... If you have been created, if you are living, if you are breathing, if you are hearing this message, even if you are not hearing this message, God has called you. At the very minimum, God has called you to be in relationship with Him through trusting His Son Jesus. But beyond that, God has called you. And how do you know your calling? How have you been gifted? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What are your interests? That's a great starting place for discovering and understanding the call of God upon your life. Where do you feel stretched? Maybe God gifted you, but you don't feel adequate to the calling. I got news for you. When you feel like you're being stretched, that's probably God. When you feel like you're being broken, that's probably the enemy. If you feel like you're being stretched, look at the direction you're being stretched. That might be where God is calling you. For me, sitting here in front of a camera, sitting here in front of a group of people teaching the Word of God, that's a stretch. It's not something that I am super comfortable with. And yet, that is the call of God upon my life. So what's your calling? Maybe God's calling you back to the family of God. Maybe God's calling you for the first time into the family of God. How do you get in the family of God? Because I didn't teach the gospel. I just taught about calling today. Well, the gospel is good news. And what's the good news? The good news is this. God loves us. First and foremost, God loves you. Whether you believe you are lovable by God or not is irrelevant. The fact is, God loves you. Secondly, we all make mistakes. Sometimes they're honest mistakes. Sometimes we just flat out are disobedient. The Bible calls that sin and iniquity, and we all have that in us. That doesn't sound like good news, especially when you get to the next point, which is, because of sin, because of iniquity, we cannot be in the presence of the one that loves us. But God made provision for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And Jesus told us that nobody takes his life. Nobody took his life, but he laid his life down for us. Why? Because God is a just God, but God is a merciful God. And because of God's love and his mercy, he had to find a way to satisfy the justice that said that we can't be with him because of our sin, because of our iniquity. And so God sent his Son to die for you and for me. And Jesus willingly came and died for you and for me. Why? So that our sins might be forgiven. And the last thing is, it's a gift. You can't earn your way to this. No, it's a gift. I want you to think about that. Jesus laid down his life as a gift for you. And for me. So how do we get this gift? It's very easy. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For it's with the mouth that one makes confession. What are we confessing? We're confessing the following. God loves us. We're sinners. We can't get to God. God made the way for us on his own through Jesus, who is God. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe with your heart that he was raised from the dead. you shall be saved. It's that simple. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to go see a guru. You don't have to do some amazing feat. You simply have to trust. And so if that's you today, you've never trusted that your debt's been paid. Or maybe you once did, but you walked away from it. Today, I want to pray with you. And I want to make that available to you. It's already available to you, but I want you to be able to avail yourself of it. And all you got to do is pray. And when you pray, mean it. Mean it. So let's bow our hearts and pray. Father God, thank you for loving me. Even though I fall short, even though not only do I sin, but I have iniquity, I want to sin. And I know that because of that, Father God, I cannot be in your presence. But Father God, I know that you paid the price for me. You sent your son to die on my behalf. And I do believe that he died in my place. And I do believe that you raised him from the dead and that you have seated him in the place of authority. And I accept that gift that you have given me in the name of your son, Jesus. Forever and ever. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to hear from you. And I'm going to throw up on the screen real quick ways to contact us. And here's how you can get in contact with us. You can email us at staff@balance-point.org. Tell us what the Lord is doing in your life through Balance Point. You can contact us. You can message us through our Facebook page. You can contact us and message us through Google+/YouTube at Balance Point Church. Or you can send us a letter at Balance Point Church at 1998 East Orris Street in Willowbrook. That's Willowbrook, California, 90222. We would love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear what God is doing in your life through the ministry here at Balance Point. Now, I'm going to tell you there are going to be some changes at Balance Point coming up that are just exciting to us. And it involves this very thing that I taught on today, which is following the call of God upon your life. One of the changes is we're going to be moving towards being able to put out more Balance Point each week. The second change is going to be more times when our sanctuary are open. And we're working out all the details and we'll let you know more as those things come to pass. Now then, if you don't have a church home, we would love to have you become part of the Balance Point family. Now we're a little unusual in that we don't have a building, we don't have a centralized location, yet we do meet in this crazy place that's called the internet. But what we are doing is we are building cell groups. And a cell group is simply a group that meets in a home. And they study the Word of God together and they study and they live the life of Christ together, all in their local locations. But we're all bound together as part of the Balance Point community. And to become part of the Balance Point community is very simple. All you need to do is go to our ministry center, which is at www.balance-point.org. That's www.balance-point.org. Come to our ministry center. Register with a way for us to contact you. Email, phone, snail mail. We'll get in contact with you. We're not going to spam you. We're not going to inundate you with information. But what we want to do is we want to set up a time when we can go over who we are, what we believe, why we operate the way we do. And if you are in agreement with what we believe and how we operate. We would love to have you become part of the Balance Point family. And it's just that simple. If you need prayer, we are a praying church. You can get prayer by simply sending us an email or a snail mail through one of our communications methods. You can Facebook your prayer request to us. You can send it by Google Plus. You can send it by YouTube message. You can email us at prayer@balance-point.org. Let us pray with you. The word says that we should celebrate with those who celebrate, and we should mourn with those that mourn, and we should bear each other's burdens. And one of the ways that we bear each other's burdens is through the power of prayer. Shoot us a message with just a short description of the need, and we would love to pray for you and to pray with you. That's at prayer@balance-point.org. That's prayer@balance-point.org. Last but not least, if you just want to contact us, again, our contacts were up on the screen, Facebook, YouTube, Google+. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what God is doing through your life, through Balance Point. And now prepare to receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who have called us to a life of blessing and a life of being a blessing to others. May you experience the shalom, the peace of our God and Father through His Son. Amen.